Earlier this week, the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, was inaugurated. I read his inaugural address and was amazed again, as I was throughout his campaign, at his faith in himself and the American people. I then went on the internet and found one given by our first president, George Washington. Reading from these speeches of these two leaders of the United States, it becomes apparent that they are entirely two different types of leaders. And I would like to outline three major qualities that Mr. Washington had, qualities that we too must have to be leaders that God wants. The first one that I would like to outline is humility. I'd like to start by reading very briefly from Mr. Obama's speech. He says, and he begins his address this way, "I stand here today, humbled by the task before us, grateful for the trust you have bestowed, mindful of the sacrifices borne by our ancestors. I thank President Bush for his service to our nation, as well as the generosity and cooperation he has shown throughout this transition." And Mr. Obama here mentions humility, mentions that he's humbled, but doesn't quite show what Mr. Washington does in his address, and I'll read briefly from his here. "Among the vicissitudes incident to life, no event could have filled me with greater anxieties than that of which the notification was transmitted by your order and received on the 14th day of the present month. On the one hand, I was summoned by my country, whose voice I can never hear but with veneration and love, from a retreat which I had chosen with the fondest predilection, and in my flattering hopes, with an immutable decision as the asylum of my declining years, a retreat which was rendered every day more necessary as well as more dear to me by the addition of habit to inclination and of frequent interruptions in my health to the gradual waste committed on it by time. On the other hand, the magnitude and difficulty of the trust to which the voice of my country called me, being sufficient to awaken in the wisest and most experienced of her citizens a distrustful scrutiny into his qualifications, could not but overwhelm with despondence one who, inheriting inferior endowments from nature and unpracticed in the duties of civil administration, ought to be peculiarly conscious of his own deficiencies. In this conflict of emotions, all I dare ever is that it has been my faithful study to collect from my duty from a just appreciation of every circumstance by which it might be affected. All I dare hope is that if, in executing this task, I have been too much swayed by a grateful remembrance of former instances or by an affectionate sensibility to this transcendent proof of the confidence of my fellow citizens, and have thence too little consulted my incapacity as well as disinclination for the weighty and untried cares before me, my error will be palliated by the motives which mislead me, and its consequences be judged by my country with some share of partiality in which they originated." Mr. Washington shows true humility when faced with the task of leading this nation. He was truly humbled by the task and thought himself not up to it. I'd like to, at this time, go to a leader which God gives us as an example, and surely one of the greatest leaders of the Bible, and that is Moses. And if we can turn now to Exodus 3, verse 11, we'll see what Moses' reaction is when called upon for a great task. That's Exodus 3, verse 11. Here in Exodus 3, verse 11, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I?" This is after being asked by God to go free the Israelites and from their bondage in Egypt. He says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses, too, felt he was not up to the task. He didn't feel that he was qualified. Indeed, earlier in his life, he was not the humble man that he was here. God took him on a journey in life that humbled him and brought him to the point that he could be used by God for the task that he had appointed him. Another quality that we must have as leaders is a recognition of our position relative to God. I'd like to quote again from Mr. Obama's speech here. He says, "This is the journey we continue today. We remain the most prosperous, powerful nation on earth. Our workers are no less productive than when this crisis began. Our minds no less inventive. Our goods and services no less needed than they were last week or last month or last year. Our capacity remains undiminished, but our time of standing pat, of protecting narrow interests and putting off unpleasant decisions, that time has surely passed. Starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America." Mr. Obama believes in the greatness of America and its people. He places his trust on himself and the American people to pull the nation out of its circumstances. I'm going to quote from Mr. Washington now in his address. He says, "Such being the impressions under which I have, in obedience to the public summons, repaired to the present station, it would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes, and may enable every instrument employed in its administration to execute with success the functions allotted to his charge. In tendering this homage to the great author of every public and private good, I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than my own, nor those of my fellow citizens at large less than either. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seemed to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." In his address here, Mr. Washington recognized that it was God that made this nation, and we are not the author of our own blessings, but that it has been bestowed upon us by God. He recognized the position that we all have relative to the Creator, and it's not one of choosing our own destiny and being the author of our own destiny and blessings, but that God bestows that upon us. Also, in Exodus 3, verse 4, when, again, Moses is confronted by a burning bush and goes over to check on it, and God speaks to him, we see that Moses recognizes the greatness of God and his relative nothingness in comparison. We read in Exodus 3, verse 4, it says, "And when the Eternal saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." And in verse 5 it says, "And he said, Draw not neither hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And this is Moses' reaction. "And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." He recognized the greatness of God in his own relative nothingness, and so must we. Another quality that we must have as leaders is faith, and that's proper faith and faith in God. I'll read again from Mr. Obama's speech very briefly here. "For as much as government can do and must do, it is ultimately the faith and determination of the American people upon which this nation relies. It is the kindness to take in a stranger when the levees break, the selflessness of the workers who would rather cut their hours than see a friend lose their job, which sees us through our darkest hours. It is the firefighter's courage to storm a stairway filled with smoke, but also a parent's willingness to nurture a child that finally decides our fate. So it is we ourselves who decide our fate, and it's faith in ourselves and what we can do." In Mr. Washington's address, he stated, having thus and this is how he also closed his address. "Having thus imparted to you my sentiments as I have been awakened by the occasion which brings us together, I shall take my present leave, but not without resorting once more to the benign parent of the human race and humble supplication that since he has been pleased to favor the American people with opportunities for deliberating in perfect tranquility and dispositions for deciding with unparalleled unanimity on a form of government for the security of their union and the advancement of their happiness, so his divine blessing may be equally conspicuous in the enlarged views, the temperate consultations, and the wise measures on which the success of this government must depend. Mr. Washington placed his faith in the future success of the United States in God, not the people. Because he recognized that it was God who blesses and God who provides, and only through God would this nation succeed. If we look again at Moses' example in Exodus 4:18, after God commanded him to go to Egypt to free the Israelites, it says here in Exodus 4:18, "And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace." He went, he had faith in God that he would provide and fulfill his word and free the Israelites and build a great nation. In these last days, he did build great Israelitish nations. But our leaders have not followed in the tradition of Washington or Moses. Our leaders and citizens aren't humble. They don't recognize God's position above all. And truly, they are a faithless generation. And our blessings are quickly being taken away. What about you? God is looking for leaders in his family with these qualities, the qualities of humility, recognizing our position relative to his, and faith in God. Are you the type of leader that God wants you to be? Do you display these qualities?